Chapter 4. Ness. When Ness was a child, she was separated from her mother, Essie, and sold to another slave owner. Now, she was about 25 years old. She did not know exactly, and she had been a slave on Thomas Allen Stockham's Alabama plantation for 3 months. Before that, Ness worked on a plantation in Mississippi, and before that, she was in a plantation she called hell. On Tom Allen's plantation, Ness was not allowed to work inside with the house slaves. Ness was a field slave. Every day, she worked in the fields on the plantation, picking cotton under the hot sun. When he first bought Ness, Tom Allen had wanted her to be a house slave. "You're too pretty to be a field slave," said Tom Allen. Tom Allen liked to have attractive female slaves to work in the house. Ness was light-skinned and had long, curly hair that fell down her back. On her first day at his plantation, Tom Allen showed Ness the uniform he made his house slaves wear. It showed lots of skin around the neck and shoulders. Tom Allen asked Margaret, his head house slave, to help Ness put on the uniform. When Margaret saw Ness in the uniform, she pressed her hand to her heart, gasped, and then ran to Tom Allen. "She can't work in the house," Margaret said to him. "Let me see her," said Tom Allen. "I'll decide for myself if she can work in my house." "Yes, sir," said Margaret. "I'm just warning you. You won't like what you see." Tom Allen laughed. "Stop being silly, Margaret. Let me see the girl." "Yes, sir," said Margaret. She went back and told Ness to follow her out. When Ness stood in front of Tom Allen, he stared at her in silent shock for a few seconds. "Get her out of my sight. Take her out of that uniform," shouted Tom Allen. Margaret quickly took Ness away and went to find some clothes for her to wear in the fields. While she waited, Ness stared at her reflection in the mirror. She had horrible, deep scars all over her body, from her neck all the way down her legs. They were a painful reminder of all the things Ness had been through in her past. Margaret came back and gave Ness a headscarf, a shirt that covered her shoulders, and a red skirt that went all the way to the floor. Once Ness was dressed, you could not see her scars anymore. "It's funny," said Margaret with a smile. "For a second, I really thought you might be prettier than me." She laughed and then left Ness alone. Tom Allen was not the worst slave master Ness had known. He gave them 5-minute breaks every 3 hours, and all the field slaves were given one large potful of water to drink. It was always hot working on Tom Allen's plantation, but Ness was used to the heat. In hell, it was so hot, sometimes she would burn her hands as she picked the cotton. Even though it hurt her, Ness could never drop the cotton, or the master of hell, the devil, would punish her. That is how Ness became so good at picking cotton. Ness did not have any friends on Tom Allen's plantation, but she did not care. "She thinks she's better than us," one woman said. "Tom Allen thinks so," said another. "Not anymore," said the first woman with an unkind smile. "Not after he told her to leave his house." Ness ignored them. Instead, she tried to remember her mother, Essie. It had been years since they were separated, and Ness found it difficult to remember much about her anymore. But that was how Ness got through every day working in the field. One night, Ness was lying in the woman's room, trying her best to fall asleep, when someone suddenly started beating on the door.
"Help! Help!" shouted Tim Tam, another slave. "Please help my daughter!"
Someone opened the door, and Tim Tam ran into the room with his daughter, Pinky, in his arms.
"Something is very wrong," he said.
I think she's sick, just like what happened to her mama. Ask Tom Allen if he can get her a doctor, said one woman. The doctor didn't do anything last time, said Tim Tam. I don't know what to do. Ness looked at Pinky. She was very small and thin. Her hair was tied up in two big puffs. While everyone worried over her, she did not say a word, but she kept hiccuping. Nothing wrong with her, said Ness. Everyone turned to stare at her. You haven't been here for long, so you don't know her yet, said Tim Tam. But since her mama died, Pinky hasn't said a word. All she does is hiccup. Hiccups never killed anyone, said Ness.
Didn't anyone tell you? Tim Tam asked Ness quietly.
We all know hiccups won't hurt her, but we're trying to get her to speak. Ness finally understood. There was nothing wrong with Pinky. They were all just trying to trick her into speaking.
You people are crazy, said Ness. Leave this little girl alone. If she doesn't want to speak, why should she? She's definitely not going to start speaking because of this nonsense you've all got going on here.
Everyone looked ashamed. Tim Tam grabbed Pinky's hand. Let's go. But Pinky pulled away from her father and walked over to Ness. She lay down next to Ness and closed her eyes to fall asleep. Ness watched her for a second and then held her close. You go back to your room, she said to Tim Tam. I'll take care of her tonight. From that day, Pinky did not leave Ness's side. She stayed with Ness and slept with her every night. In the morning, when Ness went to work in the field, Pinky worked as the water girl for Tom Allen's family. At least 40 times every day, Pinky carried two silver buckets to the lake, filled them with water, and then brought them back to the house. She used the water in the buckets to fill the baths for Tom Allen's children and for his wife's flowers. By the end of the day, Pinky's arms ached. One day, Ness was waiting for her pot of water while Tom Allen's children, Tom Jr. and Mary, were playing outside. They ran around the corner of the house at the same time that Pinky, carrying the buckets of water, came by. Tom Jr. ran into Pinky so hard that she fell over, and the buckets of water spilled over everyone near her. Mary started to cry. My dress is all wet. Tom Jr. glared at Pinky. Apologize to my sister. Pinky opened her mouth, but no words came out. She's sorry, said Ness quickly. I wasn't talking to you, said Tom Jr. Mary stopped crying. It's fine, Tom. You know she doesn't talk. I don't care, said Tom Jr. She'll talk if I tell her to talk. Apologize to Mary. Pinky started to cry. Tom Jr. looked disgusted. He went into the house and returned with a cane. The cane was bigger than Tom Jr. was, and so heavy that he could hardly hold it in both of his hands. He stood in front of Pinky and said, Speak, or I'll beat you. Pinky started to cry and hiccup loudly, but Tom Jr. did not care. He lifted the cane over his shoulder and tried to bring it down on Pinky, but Ness caught it before it could hit her. She pulled the cane so hard that Tom Jr. fell to the ground. Just as he fell, Tom Allen came out of the house.
Daddy, Tom Jr. cried. Daddy, she was going to hit me.
Tom Allen looked at Tom Jr., and he looked at Ness. Ness knew that he could see exactly what had happened and that his son was lying, but she also knew that he did not care.
I'll deal with you later, said Tom Allen to Ness,
and everyone wondered what would happen. That night, Ness dreamed of hell. In hell, she was married to a man named Sam. Sam did not speak any English, and Ness did not speak his language, so they did not speak to each other at first. Sam refused to learn any English, so their master, the devil, punished him for it. Every night, the devil whipped Sam until his skin stopped healing. One night, tired of being punished by the devil, Sam destroyed the slave's hut. When the devil came to punish Sam again, Ness knew he would not survive, so she told the devil that she had destroyed the huts. Although the devil knew she was lying, he still whipped her as hard as he had whipped Sam.
"I'm sorry," said Sam as he helped Ness to lie down and tried to clean her wounds. They were the first English words he had ever spoken to anyone. After that, things changed. Sam started to learn more English, and he and Ness finally started sleeping with each other as husband and wife. They soon had a son together, who they named Kojo. Once he was born, Sam promised himself that he would never allow Kojo to be hurt. Then Ness met Aku, and one day she told Sam that there was a way he could keep his promise. Ness had been sitting in the back of the church singing a song in Twi, her mother's language, while she waited for the preacher to start talking. Ness could not speak Twi, but she had learned the song from her mother. When she started singing, a woman turned around and whispered something in the same language, but Ness did not understand. The woman looked sad. "You're an Ashanti, and you don't even know it," she said. She introduced herself as Aku and explained that she was from the Ashanti kingdom and had been kept in the castle just like Ness's mother had. She also told Ness that she knew a way to escape from hell. It would be dangerous, but Ness and Sam knew they had to try. One night in early spring, Aku told them that it was time to go. Sam grabbed Kojo in one arm and Ness in the other. And with Aku, the three of them ran from hell for the first time in their lives. That first night, they walked for so long that Ness's feet started to bleed, but they did not slow down. If they slowed down, Ness knew the devil would find them and bring them back to hell. After walking for some days, Ness began to feel that the devil was near them. She knew that he was chasing them and that he would find them soon. "Will you hold Kojo tonight?" Ness asked Aku while Sam had taken their son to search for some water. "Just for tonight. I need to give my back a rest." Aku nodded and gave her a strange look. Ness did not care. She knew what she wanted, and she would not change her mind. She was right to ask. The devil and his dogs were close by. They hid in the trees and watched as the devil and his dogs looked around for them. "I know you're out here somewhere," said the devil. "I'll gladly wait." Ness knew that he would wait forever, and soon Kojo would start to cry and reveal their hiding place. "Don't come down, whatever you do," Ness called quietly to Aku, who was hiding in a tree with Kojo a little further ahead. Ness allowed herself one last look at Kojo and Aku before she climbed down from her tree and hit the floor. Sam followed her.
"Where's the boy?" the devil asked.
"Dead," said Ness. The devil laughed, and then he marched Ness and Sam back to hell. Once they got there, the devil had them both naked. Ness was first. The devil tied Sam so tightly with rope that he could not even move his fingers, and made him watch as Ness earned the scars that would make her too ugly to work in a house ever again. Once he was finished with Ness, the devil made Ness watch as he tied a rope around Sam's neck and hanged him from a tree.
Back on Tom Allen's plantation, Ness waited to see what kind of punishment he would give her. She could see him, watching her and waiting. But Ness did not watch him for long. She just continued to pick cotton. As she worked, she said a prayer. Lord, please forgive my sins. Save us from evil and protect my son, wherever he may be.